time, I thank all of you who came this morning, fought the race traffic. Amen. I hear it was terrible. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. She's going to take her shoes off and on. Come on up, Carol Ann. This is Reverend Carol Ann Steele. And God told me, you know, she knew us years ago, 15 years ago. And God, then she moved to Florida, but God told me she would always be part of this ministry. Well, she's part of this ministry. She left everything in Florida. She built it. You go ahead and you tell them what you did. Give her a microphone, somebody. Did somebody give her a microphone, maybe? Now we got two microphones.
Well, I had a ministry house in Florida, and I had just sold the ministry house, and I had just built another house, my dream house, from ground up, designed it, everything, even from where the wall sockets were going to be, what kind of granite. I mean, it was decked out. It was a very, very nice house. And just as I was about to move in, I got fired from my job. Surprise! And my boss, who does not profess to be a Christian, told me, he said, we need to let you go, and you need to go to Plan B. And I said, Plan B? I said, I've invested everything into this job. I have no Plan B. And he says, well, you just need to go to Plan B. And so I'm driving home, and I said, God, there is no Plan B. And he says, yes, you know what Plan B is. He said, your Plan B was supposed to be your Plan A, and that was for you. Just restart your school and restart your ministry. He said, that should have been your Plan A. And so it was very interesting because when I was here in December, Pastor Barbara had prophesied over me. And she said, I'm very surprised to hear this from the Lord. Carol, but you're running from your call. And I was just listening to that on the CD the other day when I was driving up here. And so the day that I had gotten fired from my job, I called up Alan. And Alan said, you're supposed to be here. He told me that in December. I called up three other friends who'd basically said they didn't even know each other. They said the same thing. They said, God's put it in our heart. And he says, you're definitely supposed to leave Florida, and you're definitely supposed to, you know, enter into what he has for you. So it was interesting, you know, leaving the house, my dream house that I had built. But so now I'm here living in a 50-year-old house with lots of spiders and little critters all over the place. Ants in the shower. But you know what? Who cares? Because if God's here, he's here, and that's really, it's really the anointing. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be with Pastor Barbara. Pastor Barbara has always been there for me. For 15 years, she's been there for me. After I had been prophesied by her many things, I was in a ministry. I traveled around. I did ministry. I don't know if you ever heard of her, with Anna Mendez. I was ordained by her. I was with her for 5 years. And then at that point, the Lord had moved me on. So here I am today, and I say hello to you all. You'll be my new family. That's what Pastor Barbara had said, the Lord said. So hi.
So this is Reverend Carol Ann Steele. You'll be seeing lots of her. She's going to be doing some teachings. In fact, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night, she wrote a book about communion, went all over the world, and she knows God has really anointed her about communion. So next Sunday night, she's going to be teaching on communion. She needs that kind of time so she can unpack and find her computer and all that kind of stuff, she told me. She said, I need to get unpacked. And she lives just right down a minute away from the church here somewhere. Is it right or left side? Is it that way? Okay.
Hope to soon. But, you know, if you want to come and crash, if you have visitors, you know, like, because I also know you have service at night. If they want to come over, have a cup of coffee, just relax or whatever. There's also a park right behind my house. My place is open. It's open to anybody. Okay?
See, and that's a cry of my heart. I've been saying, God, we need some place where even we were doing deliverance for people who were traveling from New York, Virginia, wherever they were coming from, we had no place for them to stay. And so they had to put themselves up in a motel, hotel, whatever. So this is really an answer to prayer. And I told God, I need people to help me minister. And because he kept saying he's shaking the church, and he keeps shaking the church and shaking people out. I said, I need somebody to help me, people to help me ministry, so I'm sending them in. So when I talked to Carol Ann, and, you know, God said that she was coming. So she will be doing a lot of ministering. She's going to pick up where she left off. Excuse me. And we'll be getting more details out to you, but please put it out there that she will be here next Sunday night preaching on communion. We don't really know the depth of communion. Excuse me. And she's going to teach us communion, all right? The right way. The Holy Spirit way. You know, it's awesome how God is... because she, you know, she had to sell everything. She gave away most of her furniture, all of it, thousands upon thousands of dollars of really nice furniture. And I said, well, honey, why don't you bring it up here? And she said, it costs too much money. So she just gave it away. So she's sitting in an empty house, so full of the Lord and just wanting to minister to people. And you will be seeing a lot of her, and you'll be hearing a lot from her. I just want you to know, you remember God's been prophesying now for 2 years. He was going to move people from different states, you know, and change relationships. And he was going to send people where he was going to use them. And everything we've been going through, I'm talking about all the body of Christ, has been your training ground for right now. Because now is whenever God is going to be starting the new ministries. He's going to be placing new mantles on people, and a whole lot of wonderful things are happening. Do these young kids have to go upstairs? I'm talking to you, Mr. Gore. Do these young kids have to go upstairs? So I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged in what God is doing, because, you know, the enemy has been fighting tooth and nail just trying to get God's children discouraged and trying to get them to quit their walk with God. But those of you who held on tight through all your trials and tribulations, God is getting ready to use you in a mighty way. So I want you to really be encouraged this morning. As you can see, Carol Ann, she's full of vim and vigor. And I came down, when I was coming down here this morning, God said, I have to give her own ministry because she's too bold for ministers. So, you know, in other words, she's an on fire, she's a firecracker. And she just ministers can't deal with her. They don't know how to handle her. But so God said, that's why she has to have her own ministry, so she can do her, you know, God's thing, God's way, and not have somebody squish her. Then that is what has happened to her in her lifetime, is people have put their thumb on her and said, sit down. I know what that's all about, so that's why God let her and I get together, because, you know, we won't knock heads, because I know what it is to be saying, sit down and shut up. This morning I want to talk about... Father God, I thank you for all the people that did brave the traffic and come into the house of God this morning. And Father God, they came here to hear your word. They came here to get a fresh manna from heaven. So Father God, no matter what the enemy is trying to do in the atmosphere, we just bind the influence of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we ask that your glory be dropped upon each and every person in this room. And I thank you for your holy angels that are going to and fro throughout this sanctuary, Father, ministering to your people. And Father God, whatever you start, you will complete. And so, Father God, I even want you to be up in the nursery today. There's some problems, and the children went up, Father, and I want you to be there and keep a spirit of peace in that nursery. Calm their spirits, Father. And Father God, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to say, all you have been walking through is not for nothing. This is Lana Vaser. She put together what I have been saying all along, but because she has it so condensed, I thought I would just put it out there. It's a refresher so you would understand what's going on. And I heard Joe Osteen talking about the same thing this morning. She said, I saw the wine press of heaven over the lives of many believers and many in that hidden place of pressing. The pressing has been intense, and at times it feels as if the pressing could not increase anymore, but the pressing continued. And remember, we just talked about that. That we're in the wine press. The pressing from various sources. God has used all of them for the good of his people. And I saw such pure, heavenly, rich, glorious wine flowing from the wine press of the lives of God's people. It was saturated in the fragrance of heaven. We all know that we've been going through such a pressing from the Lord that sometimes we think, I can't go any further. I cannot do this one second longer. But, you know, because of the integrity of our hearts, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been enduring. We've been enduring that wine press process that we've been going through. And what God has been doing is pressing out everything that is not of him. And I don't know about you, but about the time I think that the pressing's over, here comes the pressing all over again, you know, and he starts a process. There's something else in me that he wants to press out. She says, as I watched this pressing happening, the more pressing that occurred, the more the Father poured his love, his strength, his comfort, and revelation into the hearts and lives of his people. So even though the pressing was so intense, more was being poured in than the pressing was seemingly taking. The people of God were so unaware in this hidden place of deep pressing, but they were actually living in a greater overflow of his love, strength, comfort, and revelation than they ever had been. I'm going to share what you share with me, Brother Brett. Brother Brett had tried to call me, but the first time he called, I was outside. But then I guess he tried to call me again and couldn't reach me, so he just did what God told him to do without me. And what God told him to do was call me and sing in the Spirit, right? And so he said he just came down here, right? And he just sang in the Spirit, saying, God, you know, there's no distance. And he sang in the Spirit over me, and he said he felt such love from the Father. And he says, Aunt Barb, you just don't, God really does love you immensely. And, you know, I got that, and I sat and I cried, and then I thought, God, what am I going to go through now that you had Brother Brett do that? Because right at that point, I was fine. But then it just doesn't take too long for you to understand why God then has somebody do something like that over you. And so here when she said this, you know, and even though I'm going through the wine, going through the press, you know, with situations around about me, God is pouring his love into me. Are you understanding that? And he's doing that to everybody in this room. Even though you're going through some trials and tribulations, God is pouring his love into you. That's why you can make it through this pressing. It's because God keeps pouring his love into you, and it counteracts all the pressing that you have to go through. As this glorious wine flowed from the lives and hearts of believers, I saw crowns flowing out. And this is important. Listen to this. As this glorious wine flowed from the lives and hearts of believers, I saw crowns flowing out in the middle of this glorious heavenly wine. There were names written upon each of these crowns, like Esther, Samuel, David, Joseph, Daniel. These crowns fell at the feet of many believers, and Jesus came and placed these crowns upon their heads. As I looked closer, on the front of the crown was one of those names mentioned above, but on the back was the name of the believer. Now, some of you sitting in here today, you know that God has, you've come up here and I've said, I've called you Esther, or I call you Ruth, or, you know, I call you whatever, you know, so this is who you are. Instantly, I knew that this pressing had been to bring these ones to the place of preparation where they would carry a similar anointing to the names placed on the front of these crowns. You hear that? But not identical, as they were created unique and individual, beautiful and different, hence their own name. I knew they were going to be used in similar ways to these heroes of the faith. That should excite a lot of you. Amen. Then she said, God said, encourage my people. Jesus said to me, Lena, encourage my people that what they have been walking through is not for nothing. How many of us thought we walked through things and nothing was going to come out of it? But for a greater purpose, vision, and mission than they have imagined. I saw him smile, the most beautiful smile And his face was radiant with joy, expectancy, and his eyes danced, looking at his people so proud. With a wink and a smile, he says to me, Lena, tell them it's going to be great. How many times have I told you God said to me, quit wanting what you used to have because what I have before you is so much greater than what you're leaving. So each one of you in here this morning, no matter what you had to leave, what God has before you is so much greater. And yes, you know, you're going to be persecuted. You might as well get used to that. And you're going to go through the pressing over and over again because every day we all know that things come into our lives that contaminate us. And yesterday there were some people in my house, and by nighttime I thought, you know, God, I feel like I'm in hell. I felt like I was in, nothing was going on, but just people coming and going. It's their demonic influence they had on them. It left a residue in my home. And I even talked to my husband about this. I said, it just seemed like it was total darkness around. And I had to pray that out, you know, I had to pray that away. And some people say, well, why can that happen? Well, it can happen. You know, the enemy, he's not content on just taking one person. He wants to take everybody with him, and he especially wants God's chosen children. And he'll use people that have demonic influences in their life to come around you to leave that residue to destroy you. And I told Larry, I said, I pled the blood. I wrapped everybody in a blanket of blood. I said, I drowned them in the blood. I did everything but kill them. And still this is going on. You know, I said, I can't believe this. My little grandson Gabriel is being attacked severely, and he's really messed up. But, you know, I said, I've done everything I know to do, Lord. What else can I do to protect this child? You know, I don't know. I don't know what else there is to do to protect this child. But it keeps coming, people keep coming against him and coming against him and coming against him. And I know that he has problems, but I know how to work with him in love. And yesterday was a terrible day for him. And I had to sit down and talk to some people. You can't do this to him. You know, you can't heap more hate and your anger on him. You've got to treat him differently. He just went through a deliverance, and now today he has the hate back all over again because of the way people have treated him the last 2 days. And I get mad at the people. You're a grown-up. You need to know how to do this thing. And now he's in torment. Now we're going to have to go through the deliverance all over again to get him set free of that. And like God told me, he said, these little children cannot protect themselves. You are their protection, and they're looking for you to protect them. That's to every individual, every parent. You are their protection. They're looking to you to protect them. Amen? All of a sudden, I find myself standing before a stage. It looked like a runway where models walked to display outfits. But this stage was so different. It was draped in the most beautiful curtains, like robes that were red, and with a smile on my face, my heart knew that it was a sanctuary. A place that was so special, an inner chamber, and the red curtains all around were reminders of the blood of the Lamb and all that he purchased. There was glorious heavenly light in every part of the room that filled the room with such warmth and joy, such peace that nothing else mattered than being in this place. It was the place that represented deep intimacy with God, the inner chamber, but also a stage set. I wondered why there was a stage, and into my heart came the words from God, to be placed on any stage of influence or stage of the world, it is birthed and remained upon by remaining in the place of deep intimacy with me. If you are going to minister for the Lord, you have to stay intimate with the Father. You know, a worldly atmosphere cannot stand on the stage. You have to be intimate with the Father, and you know whether or not you're intimate with the Father. So I'm really encouraging each one of you to stay intimate with your Father. You know, just, I don't care what you do, you know, just stay intimate with him. Talk to him continually. And even if you don't feel him, he's still there. He is never leaves you, nor does he ever forsake you. He's still there. And, you know, and years ago, God told me, daughter, from now on, you're not going to hear me as often as you have been, because from now on, it's a total faith walk. And now I know why my Father did that. He wanted my faith to grow, so when there were dark times and I couldn't hear his voice because of the calamity around me, I would walk by faith knowing that he was with me no matter what was going on in my life. So even if you don't hear the voice of God, you can always feel his presence. And you just keep going knowing that he's with you, he's for you, and he's not against you, and you're not the only one in the boat. I was tickled me the day God told me, he said, what's the matter with you? You're not the only one in this boat. You're not in here all alone. You know, we get that little pity party going, and we think we're the only one going through the trials and tribulations. And we're really not. The prophet said that too. I'm the only prophet left. Isn't that what he said? And God surprised him. He said, I have a whole lot more. Amen? Come on. And you're not the only one being persecuted. I'm sorry, you're just not. You know, and I've been teaching you that because of your calling, your deep calling, you will be persecuted to the limit. And so really, instead of us being upset when we're persecuted and people come against us, we should be rejoicing because that they're letting us know how deep our calling truly is. And the enemy's trying to take people out right now in that area. He's fighting them tooth and nail, trying to make them believe they're never going to make it. And right then and there, you should be rejoicing. Whatever the devil tries to make you believe, you know it's just the opposite that's going on in your life. Amen? Jesus then stepped onto the stage, and my eyes filled with tears as I could feel his pleasure over his people, his complete joy at the release and unveiling. He looked at me with his beautiful eyes and said to me, it is time. See, right now, Caroline, the reason why you're in Delaware, it is time. God gave me the word for the day. It is time, just a couple days ago. Saints, it is time for your ministries to blossom. It's time for you to step into what God is calling you forth to do. This ministry is a swinging door ministry. God told me from day one you will be training ministers, and you will be sending them forth. So that's why you always see new faces. God trains the ones he sends in, and then he sends them out. Then he sends more in to be trained, sends them out. So why are we so concerned about things? Yes, you have to have a core to work with, but the job of this church is to train ministers so they can go forth and do the works God's called them to do. One by one, God began to bring forth his people wearing crowns. Each one with the names written on the crowns. They were so beautiful and so wonderfully prepared. All for such a time as this. He spoke and handed each one a key, and the keys that each one of these were handed unlocked doors to their destiny. I saw them go into the world to begin to release all that was poured into them through the intense period of pressing. You know, God keeps telling you people that what you're going through is what you're going to use in your ministry. Amen? In this encounter, I felt to encourage the people of God that all you have walked has not been for nothing. It has all had a perfect purpose. And at this point, I'm just going to speak something personal. You know, my grandson got hooked up with his girlfriend again. You all know the story. And got back on drugs. And then she moved to Wilmington, and so he wanted to be with her, you know, near her. She had another boyfriend, but you know, the enemy has a hold on him through her. We have realized that, and we're seeking God's face how to break that, but we know how to do it. But he got up there and he became a street person, sleeping under a bridge, but you know, with others, homeless person, I should have said. Then he learned how to panhandle. You know, that's if you go to Wilmington, you'd see the people standing out, you know, with a little sign on them. But what he did with his money that he made, he would go and buy food for the other homeless people under the bridge. And he would take that food to them. And he wouldn't eat any of it either, because he really lost a lot of weight, and he came home, and he would come home hungry. But, you know, even in his state, he was a witness for God. And I found out from him that he even witnessed to some of these guys who were really bad off about God. And they got mad at him. He brought one of these, these homeless people home with him the other weekend. Really nice guy. And he saw where Jimmy lived. He went back and told the other guys under the bridge. And they're mad at him. He can't stay under the bridge no more. But he still takes them food. He did the other day. The police caught him and fined him $50, told him he couldn't panhandle no more. But anyhow, He said, you have a home, man. Go to it. You're taking up space another homeless, really homeless person could take, could use. You know? And I guess at one point up there, they started treating him really like dirt. And he said, look, I'm not one of you people. I have a home to go to. That's why he brought his friend home, because they said they didn't believe him. So he brought this guy home to let him see he had a home to go to. But anyhow, but see, what I'm getting at here is he was a witness even though he was with a drug crowd. We can be a witness wherever. If we follow God at one point in our life, and we backslid like my grandson is, that God is still in you. He knows the Bible frontwards and backwards because he went to Bible school. You know, his schooling was in the Bible school. And he preached the Bible to them. He didn't preach. He just told them what the Bible said. So I don't know how many converts he might have unknowingly gotten out there. But we just don't know. So don't be judging people. God told me, don't you judge him. You love him at all costs. He's going to do some things that are really going to upset you. But don't you dare judge him. And don't you dare quit loving him. You love him at all costs. And I have. And he's back home. And I praise God for it. Amen. So what you're going through will be your testimony to others that you meet from this day forward. Where am I at? All for such. Where am I at, Nancy? So I said, one by one he began to bring forth his people wearing crowns and offer such a time as this. In this encounter, I felt to encourage the people of God that all you have walked has not been for nothing. It has all had a perfect purpose. And now we're here. God has used it all, the good, the bad, to bring you to this place for such a time as this. All the things the enemy threw at you, he has turned to bring you to this place of release. There isn't one of you sitting in here today, and me either, the enemy has not thrown all of hell at us. And we've cried out to God, I'm your child, why am I going through this? You went through it for such a time as this. God told me their glory was going to be released in the summer. Well, and I'm believing what God said. So this is your timing. Don't miss your timing. Don't be sitting around moaning and groaning and complaining about what people did to you. They did what they did to you because God wanted it done. Period. There was things in you that he had to press out of you. There was things you had to learn. And you went through that process, a really hard process at times. You went through it. I hope you're done with it. And I hope you're ready now to say, okay, God, that was my past. And now I'm ready to step into the future. Amen? Come on. That was my past, and I'm ready to step into the future. Don't be upset with who God used to mold you. You're like me, I'm a child of God. Why would you do this to me? I've said that many times to God. Why would you place me in these circumstances? Why would you put these people around about you? But as I told you just the other service, it was because God had to train me in different areas of my life so I could minister to different people. Don't be concerned about who you've been around. Don't be concerned about what they did to you. Don't be concerned if they stole from you. Just know that God was teaching us to love unconditionally, to forgive and forget, and to move on. I didn't say you had to go and sit at their table and eat with them. I didn't say that. But you can forgive and forget and move on. Right? I've had to forgive and forget and move on more times than I care to do it. And I know some of you sitting here this morning, you have too. And we probably will until the day Jesus Christ comes to take us back home. New mantles. God is releasing mantles right now in the heavenlies. These mantles are not to be treated lightly. And they are mantles that have been released to those who have been through the pressing. Are you listening? Let's read that again. God is releasing mantles right now in the heavenlies. These mantles are not to be treated lightly, and they are mantles that have been released to those who have been through the pressing, that have walked the path of great sacrifice and continued to hold on to their beloved. And if you haven't, if you think you haven't been holding on to God, then why are you in here this morning? You're in here because no matter what you went through, you still held on to God, still trusted Him. Maybe just a little tiny bit, but you still trust Him, knowing that somehow, some way, this was working out for your good. Now, maybe you said, God, I don't see how this could ever be working out for my good and your glory. But when it's all over with, when the battle's all over with, you look back and think, well, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was. Right? Right? That's right. Amen. Because then the next reason I say it, because in the next battle you went through, you say, good Lord, this is worse than the other one you just came out of, right? They have gone deeper into the inner chamber and pressed through when everything else has screamed at them to give up. The place where they have come to, a place of such depth of intimacy that every part of them yearns and delights for Him and living before the audience of one. Every bit of pressing that you have gone through should have drawn you closer to God. It should have made you just want Him more and more and more and more. And if it didn't, get into intimacy with God. Let Him hold you. Let Him love you. Let Him be the lover of your soul. Let Him bring you to that place of complete and total fruition where He will be able to do His perfect work within you. Come on. He is releasing you right now. He is releasing the Esthers, the Samuels, the Davids, the Joseph, the Daniels into the world. There is going to be an increase in dream interpretation in the church and in the world, an increase in creative revelation and worship, an increase in the gift of administration and excellence, an increase in open doors to speak before people of influence releasing kingdom principles. Now, a lot of you, I remember God prophesied to you, you would minister to kings. So this is a time that you'll be doing that. This is a time that you will have great influence into the top people. So don't be surprised at where God takes you and whom He has you ministered to. You know something? Do you know that the pastors don't have it all together like you think they do? And you know what? They could be dead wrong and telling you they're dead right. And if God speaks to your heart and gives you a word for them, if it's God and not you wanting to put somebody down, but if He gives you a word to go and minister to them, then you need to go do that. You need to go and minister to that person. Well, they're a pastor or they're a bishop or they're, well, it doesn't matter. There's something in their life that they're not hearing from God about, and He's using you to minister to them. I had somebody call me the other day. You'd be surprised how many people. God said this was a time when the backsliders were going to come into the house of God. And I'm totally surprised at the amount of phone calls I'm getting from backsliders who are wondering why their life went the way it did. And they're trying to get back to God. And what they need then is, if they're calling me, they need me to intercede for them. And they need me to pour God's love into them so that they have the strength to come back to God. Because a lot of people, have, when they backslid, they did things that they're not proud of. But you know what? God isn't looking at none of that. He's just looking at your heart. He sees a repentant heart. He knows that you're sorry for what you did. So let it go. Don't let the enemy walk over you with that. Just let it go and just go on and do what God's calling you for to do. Because this is the time. This is the time, saints, that God is truly calling His ministers to the forefront. Remember I told you, He told me that the remnant that He's had on the backside of the desert, He's now bringing forth. And the remnant people are the people we're talking about here, who have been persecuted and who have paid the price, but still held on to God. Blueprints from heaven that have been given to the people of God in their pressing, in the wine press, the visions are being released now into the world and are going to be released into large corporations. And these kingdom principles released through these ones will not only bring increase to their corporations, but salvation, signs, and wonders into the marketplace. And how many times has God been speaking to us about that? If you have a business, then God's going to use you with signs, wonders, and miracles. But I want to say something here right up front. If you have a business, don't sacrifice your day, your one day with God to make your business grow because you'll lose it. God requires one day from you to worship him. And I've been talking to people, why weren't you in church? Well, I set up a meeting on that on Sunday. Why did you set up a meeting on Sunday? Well, I had to do this on Sunday. Why did you do this on Sunday? That's God's day. I've even had some people say, well, I'm just too tired to get out of bed. I worked hard all week. And so I know God wouldn't care if I laid in bed and rested. Now, that's, I'm sorry, you ask God. He's going to tell you that's not so. If you had all that energy to work, to do all this work for 5 days or 6 days, why didn't you have energy for God on the seventh day? Something's not right there. If we all were honest, there were some Sundays we don't really want to get out of bed and get dressed and go to church. You know, come on, we're all human, and there are some times we just don't want to do it. But we do it not because we have to, but we know deep in our heart, I need to spend that one day with my Father. Amen. I just need to do this thing. And I don't know about you, when I miss a service, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. I need that day with the Lord. I need to get out of the hectic things of the world, and I need to get in the house of God. And I don't care who's doing the ministering. I just need to sit in the presence of the most holy God. Amen. Transformation in governments. I felt the Lord wants his people believing for the transformation of governments. Many of the keys that were released in this encounter were keys to unlock governments and minister to leaders of governments. There is a revival coming within governments. Jesus is going to visit world leaders in tremendous encounters in the night, and great favor opening up through these ones being sent in to proclaim the word of the Lord and bring about a kingdom shift. Nations is now shifting nations with his love and glory, and he is moving into government to bring a revival of his love, which will bring even greater radical shifts in nations. God has been prophesying for years now he's going to put godly people in the government positions, and they will turn things around. Now, I've been reading where Hillary Clinton might win this next election, and she's telling Christians they need to quit serving God. Now, I hope and pray that everybody, if she is one of the candidates, that we'll be praying and have our senses about us when we go to the ballot box. Amen. His people will shine. I was then taken back into this encounter where I saw many of his people sitting on the floor around the stage of this inner chamber, and they were weeping. I watched as Jesus went and knelt down beside each one, and I heard their heart cries. I am not a Joseph. I am not an Esther. I am not a Daniel. Their hearts were full of insignificance, not knowing their value, and bound in an orphaned spirit. I saw Jesus touch the chin of each one by one, and lift their heads to look at him in the eyes. He spoke with such conviction, such love and compassion, and he said, "This is how much I love you." And he stretched out his arms, and I could see his heart. And inside his heart, I saw the crucifixion. And as I saw him on the cross, I saw him look at each one of these. And he spoke so tenderly and beautifully. It was all for you. So if God called you an Esther, and you're thinking, I just can't do this, Lord. I've just been too rotten. That's not true. God would not call you an Esther or a Daniel or whatever if you were not able to carry the mantle. And the people of God began to sob and sob as the love and kindness of God enveloped them, healing their hearts and breaking off the orphan spirit. Also, you could be mine. Such healing and restoration was coming into their hearts that I began to weep. He then went back down and handed each one a scroll. As he unraveled the scroll, there were pictures of each moment of their lives, when they were children and fell and hurt their knee, to when they were adults and got a job promotion, dreams coming true. In each picture, I saw him. Every moment of their life mattered. Remember, I was telling you that all of a sudden I remembered everything that happened in my life, and I always tell you don't. But these things just kept popping up. And when I read this, I thought, God, that was you. I thought it was the devil. Show me the things I did. And I kept rebuking him. Get away from me, devil. Get away. And, you know, they weren't bad things, but yet there were things, in my life that I did. And it was God. And see, and I felt like, he told me, he said, you're now an apostle. And I don't feel worthy of anything, let alone an apostle. And then he started showing me all this stuff, bringing my life before me and showing me all this stuff. He said, you are able to do whatever I call you to do. So you are able to do whatever God calls you to do. Don't be thinking about your past. Don't be thinking about, you know, can you speak or can't you speak? Don't be another Moses. Go ahead and receive what God's given you. Go ahead and go forth and do the works that God's calling you to do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if God has called you to do something, he equipped you already. And I don't care how unworthy you feel, when you stand up to speak, God will speak through you. Amen. My eyes then gazed over to the list on the other side of the scroll, and it was every heart's desire, every dream, and how he had molded, shaped, planned, and perfected them, and their hearts' cries in his presence to bring them into the place of fullness and deeper knowledge of him and his goodness. Let's read that one again. My eyes then gazed over to the list on the other side of the scroll, and it was every heart's desire, every dream, and how he had molded, shaped, planned, and perfected them, and their hearts' cries in his presence to bring them into the place of fullness and deeper knowledge of him and his goodness. The presence and love of the Father was all over this scroll with the words ringing in my ears, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, John 14:9. These ones stood to their feet, free of the orphan spirit, knowing their value and knowing the unshakable truth that they are loved and they are a son and daughter of the most glorious good God. I saw them go into the world, into their day-to-day lives, and they were releasing bombs of love through their words and their actions and attitudes, and love revivals were happening everywhere they went. There were deposits of God's love being released everywhere. Their feet trod in signs and wonders. These ones who thought they were insignificant and of no value, not knowing how loved they were releasing a love revival everywhere they went. People were coming to know Jesus at a rapid pace because they were known for their love. What has God been trying to get the Lighthouse Church to do? Walk in love. To be love sponges. And God's been telling you that unless your foundation is love, then he can't use you. A lot of times when we're ministering here at the altar, I'll have one of you people go and put your arms around somebody and just pour love into them because God tells me they need to know they're loved. And see, and then as you do what I ask you to do and you wrap your arms around about them, if you notice, they start breaking. And see, in that hardness, that whatever is bothering them, it breaks. And then God can get through to them. But see, you can't do that unless you have love in you. You cannot pour something into somebody you don't already have. And if you notice, I'll say to certain ones, you go do it. Because at that given time, God said, that one is full of love. Have them do it. See, God is an all-knowing God. He's such a perfect, wonderful God. And he goes to any length to set his people free. You know, you might be having the hardest day of your life, and God will say to you, and you might feel like you're unloved and everything else, but God might say to you, go hug that person. I remember one time, and I told this story a long time ago, when I worked at the college, the girls always fought. They always came against me. They didn't like me for some reason or other. And I know now it's because they were worldly and I wasn't. But anyhow, the one day they picked, and we were doing registration. They picked and picked and picked at me all day. And by evening, I was tired and I was hurting so bad because all three of them were picking on me. And I just got down off my chair and I started crying and running to the bathroom. And one of the girls ran after me. And I said, leave me alone. And she said, no, I won't. And I said, leave me alone. She said, no, I won't. She was taller than I was. But she turned me around and put her arms around about me and said, we're so sorry we did this to you today. And I just started crying and crying and crying. And, you know, just broke. And all the bitterness I was feeling towards him left me. But she knew. She went to church. She knew what they had done all day. And so she came after me. Now, what would happen if she wouldn't have come after me? I really don't think it would have been good. But she ran after me and made me let her hug me. So maybe somebody's fighting you, just they don't want you to hug them. Hug them anyhow. Release the love of God into them. All right, these ones were even ministering in the church to those who do not know their love, that were caught in division, caught in unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred, and were releasing impartation of God's love through their testimonies, and others were being set free in the kingdom. Let's go start this over again. Look who they were ministering to. These ones were even ministering in the church to those who do not know their love, that were caught in division, caught in unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred, and were releasing impartation of God's love through their testimonies. And others were being set free in the kingdom, reawakened and revived, and then going into the world of their day-to-day lives and releasing His love. It was a love revolution. The body of Christ is hurting so bad. The church has been fragmented for so many years. And God is saying love must return back into the body of Christ. It just must. Who's going to minister to this world who doesn't know love? Who is hurting and who have been rejected? I think about all those people under that bridge. And I said, God, like this one young man that he brought him. I said, God, why is he under that bridge? He said, because he made a mistake and his parents threw him out and wouldn't love him. And now he's living on the street. He has a beautiful home in California, but his parents won't let him come back home. And the kid is really a nice kid. You know, how many people do that? How many parents do that? They reject their children because they make a mistake. They never stop to think of how many mistakes they made getting to where they were at. You know, with one of my children, they were messed up, and I was going to a church, and they wanted to come back home. They had left home, and my pastor at that time told me, don't bring them back into your house. They'll bring all their sin with them. And then I prayed, and I said, God, what am I to do? Because I didn't want that person on the street. He said, you bring them back into your home, because if you don't love them, the world will. And you know what the world is going to do to them. The world will destroy them. So I brought them back into the home and loved them, and they turned out all right. Maybe it's because I was kicked out on the street when I was little and didn't have no place to go. I don't know, but my heart goes out to people who don't have no place to go. My heart goes out to the homeless who are out there. And I know it's probably a lot of their own fault, but you know what? We did a lot of things, too, that God forgave us for. And, you know, and he kept us. He didn't kick us out. He kept loving us until we got our acts together. So if we're supposed to be just like Jesus, then why don't we act like Jesus? Why don't we love the unlovable? Come on. You know, don't get this twisted either. I know there's things we go through and God says, shake their dust off your feet and move on. And you do that. You just move on, but then you don't stop loving. You don't stop caring or praying. You just move on because you know that your time with them is over and you have to move on. No matter where you are, no matter what you are walking, no matter what you have walked, as you are part of His kingdom, it is your time to shine. It is your time to arise. No matter where you are, no matter what you are walking, no matter what you have walked, as you are part of His kingdom, it is your time to shine. It is your time to arise. Stay deep in the inner chamber with Him. What you have walked was not for nothing. It has been for such a time as this. Doors are opening now for your destiny. Are you listening? The world is waiting for you. It is time to take your place. The pressing, even though it was one of the most difficult things you have ever walked, was one of your greatest blessings. You need to get that in your spirit tonight. It's morning, I know. The pressing, even though it was one of the most difficult things you have ever walked, was one of your greatest blessings. You know, God showed me this about my own life a couple months ago. He said, daughter, even though you think this is really hard, even though you think that I don't know what I'm doing, this is going to turn out to be a great blessing in your life. So, where are you at? Are you willing to accept what you've been through as a blessing from God? And are you willing now to step forth and go forth and do what God's telling you to do? You just watch how He is going to use you. The best is yet to come. And He said to me in the encounter, tell them, Lana, it's going to be great. And God has been telling us it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful what He's bringing. The body of Christ has never gone this way before. And we are preparing the way for the other churches, you know, the other Christians to follow. A lot of people don't believe in what we do. They think I'm going crazy. They don't like our music. They don't like the way I minister. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like the other. But then they don't like my father either. Because I'm doing what the Father's telling me to do. Are you understanding this? So if people are coming against you, let them go and come against you, because they're not coming against you. They're coming against the God in you. And how many times have I told you that? You know, and if they're jealous of you, they're jealous because you have so much of God in you. And they want what you have, but they can't quite seem to attain it. God told me that one time too. He said, daughter, they're jealous because they don't have what you have. You know, it's not my fault that they can't attain it. It's not. You know, we each have to walk on our own salvation. Is this not true? So, you know, I'm walking out mine. I'm still walking out mine because God told me in any given second I could lose my salvation. So believe me, I'm walking out my salvation daily. And if I think I've done something to offend God, I really get on my face because I don't want to die and go to hell for somebody else. I really don't. My opinion is that you're not worth me going to hell for. I love you, but I'm not going to go to hell because of you. I'm not going to lose my salvation over what you're doing. Amen. This whole thing was to tell you that the pressing has been hard, but it was worth it all. Early on in my ministry, God gave me the scripture about Peter being pressed. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, is what he said. Remember, I kept telling you the holes in the sifter get smaller and smaller. Remember, I've been saying that? Because the pressing just gets harder and harder. But through all this pressing, if we had already attained where God wanted us to be, we wouldn't be going through the press. Let's just put it that way. We'd be finished with the pressing, and we'd be out there doing what God, you know, be right where God wants us to be. I'm going to tell you, though, that it is time. It's time that we just forget about the past. We move on into the future and get out, allow God to put us out there and to use us for His glory. No more whining. I'm hearing Him say no more complaining. I want you just to stop thinking about what you went through. You're through it. He's saying you're through it. Now step into the door that I have opened before you and do the mighty works that I'm calling you forth to do. Now, do you all have that in your spirit this morning? I have it in mind. I've had it in mind for a couple months. Even though I'm still going through some bad things, I know that I've stepped through that door, and I know that God's getting ready to use this church. He's getting ready to use this church in a fabulous way. So, what's He doing in your life? Are you now ready to forget and move on? You can't say yes this morning and then this afternoon say no. Are you ready, Brother Allen, to step forward and do what you're supposed to do now? Are you through your little temper tantrums? All right. Now, everybody near heard that, right? All right. Now he has to step into his place and do what God's telling him to do. See, I know what he's going through. I don't know what the rest of you are going through, so I can't talk to you. But this is the hour, and this is the time that God's calling you. Don't miss God. Do not miss God. Whatever you do, don't miss Him. She said it, and you know, God told her, arise. Well, we said, it is your time to shine. It is your time to arise. Now, God gave that scripture to us 3 years ago. We missed God 3 years ago. I'm not missing God again. I don't care where y'all guys end up. I'm not missing God again. And I'm not being ignorant. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to let you hold me back like I did the other time. We've got to get it together. We have to move on. I can never think of her name. What's her name that comes? She travels 2 hours or so every service to come here. Astrid. What she's learning, God has her travel. What is it, 2.5 hours, 2 hours? 2 hours one way to get here. She does it faithfully every service. She said God said to go. So God is training her for a great and fabulous ministry. And y'all see how on fire she is for God. You can't stop her. Her and Carol Ann would do good well together. They would. I don't know who would win here. Getting excited about God. But See, she's willing to pay that price. She's willing to pay that price. I think she came down one Wednesday night, too. God said, you have to be there. Or she came down one time when she usually doesn't. God said, you have to be there. And I said, now she has to drive the whole way back because I'll be with her. So were you willing to pay the price? With Caroline, she paid a price. She gave up her dream house. She just gave away everything. She doesn't have no job, no furniture, no nothing. Sitting down here a minute away from the church in an empty house. No friends. Because God told me we're going to be her family. She said, I've been here 4 days and Pastor Barbara hadn't even called me. And she was right. When she came here that night, I was doing a deliverance, sitting in here doing a deliverance. And I got so busy, really and truly. I thought she was talking to somebody else and she wasn't. But God laid upon my heart for Saturday. See, God knows what He made you sit there all those days. God knows perfect timing. He wouldn't let me alone. So finally I called her and she said, I was wondering when you was going to call me. God's perfect timing. And then whenever we talked, we had, God just put a lot of things in my heart. But see, everything is in God's perfect timing. And we want to get out of God's timing. We can't get out of God's timing. Because if we do, then we'll miss God. But now is the time. Now is the time. You've got to move now. You have to do what God's calling you for to do. And she's going to start a ministry right there down there in that house. And I don't know where, how God, you know, her ministry is going to be huge. It's going to explode. And I don't know where God's taken her to. And she doesn't either. She's just following God day by faith. And some of you in here are doing the very same thing. You're just following God day by faith. Keep following God. Keep doing the things that God's placed upon your heart that you're going to do. So don't be surprised what God asks you to do. Just do not be surprised at what God asks you to do, because it's going to blow your mind at where He's taking you to and what He's doing with you. All right, I'm hearing God say the great explosion is about to occur. Many of you in here will be in the explosion. And many of you, when the explosion happens, it won't take you off your course because you are expecting God to use you. And God said, I'm going to use you to the ultimate. And I'm not, once I start, I will not stop. So if you laid your hand to the plow, I'm saying this, if you laid your hand to the plow, what's it say? You put your hand to the plow, look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. So you've said, yes, Lord, here I am, and God heard you, and now God's getting ready to use you. And I'm hearing God say, some of you in mysterious ways, ways that you never thought He would ever use you. And so He's saying, don't buckle under that either. Just know that I'm with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you right now. We give you praise, honor, and glory.